Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is UConn Health President Dr. Andrew Agwunobi. He's held that position before and even became interim president at the same time of the University of Connecticut system as a whole, before leaving for a private position in the insurance business, but now he's back as the president of UConn Health. Dr. Agwunobi, who we also might be referring to simply as just Andy or Dr. Andy this morning, welcome to Face Connecticut. Good morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm happy to have you on the show and welcome you back to a familiar position. In fact, I remember when it was announced and I was wondering, okay, who's it going to be? Who's going to take the job? And Dr. Rodenka Marek, the current president of UConn, said that initially she was surprised that you were even interested, but you were, and now you're back again. So could you talk a little bit about that process, how you left and how you came back?
Yes, well, I left to go to Humana, and the idea at that time that I had was I wanted to sort of broaden my outlook and particularly to be involved in transformation. Humana at that time had acquired a national home health agency and was really innovating in the home. So things like urgent care in the home, primary care in the home, value-based care in the home. And so it was for me, it was something that I was very interested in. In terms of expanding my outlook and maybe helping at a national level to transform healthcare. And then, so I was there and, you know, Humana is a great company. I learned a lot in Humana. You know, I learned about managed care. I learned about Medicare Advantage, which more than 50% of Medicare participants, more than 50% are now enrolled in Medicare Advantage. So it's very important to understand that properly. Of course, we engaged in the transformation that I joined Humana to do, and that was wonderful. It was a great experience, and many other learnings from Humana. But when the search firm reached out to me and said, you know, would I be interested in coming back to UConn Health? I have to admit, you know, it was a huge temptation for me because. Number one, I love UConn Health. I think it's just a phenomenal, amazing success story. But in addition, you know, my family stayed in Connecticut. My office was in D.C., and I was traveling back and forth from D.C. to Connecticut by Amtrak every weekend. And so it was nice to just come back to a state that I love, an organization that I'm extremely, extremely impressed by and fond of. And working with great people, ultimately, you know, being able to come back and work with people that I've worked with before and that are doing amazing work, both at UConn and at UConn Health, was too much of a draw for me, so I decided to come back.
We know, Dr. Andy, that in recent years you've had some very high-profile positions, such as the one that you have currently at UConn and previously as well, but our listeners may not be too familiar with your background, so if you could take us back a number of years back in time. What is your background?
Yeah, so my background, some people don't remember this, but my background, I'm actually a pediatrician. So I'm a physician. I've practiced all over the country. I've practiced in California at Palo Alto Medical Foundation. I've practiced in Boston at Harvard Vanguard Medical Associates. I've even practiced in Alabama. When I first came out of residency, I practiced in Alabama, which was a wonderful experience. And so at my core, I'm a physician, a pediatrician, but very early in my career, I realized that I really enjoy, number one, working with teams of people to solve big problems and to solve them systemically. And so I went to business school. I went to Stanford Business School quite early in my career. And then I joined Tenet Health Systems, which is a for-profit healthcare chain of hospitals. So I joined them. That was my first CEO of a hospital job. And then I switched to the nonprofit side, and I ran Grady Health System in Atlanta, which is a 1,200-bed level one trauma center that Emory University uses as its academic one of its academic health centers. And then from there, my career was just running health systems, large health systems, particularly. Well, I would say, you know, for example, five hospitals in Spokane for Providence Healthcare. I was the chief operating officer for 14 hospitals in California. And so that's my background. Now, on my journey, I did also do consulting for a little while. I did 4.5 years with Berkeley Research Group, which is a hospital performance improvement organization, consulting firm. And I also spent a year in Florida running an agency. So I've worked in government as well as the secretary for the Agency for Healthcare Administration. And then, of course, I rounded it out with my trip to Humana, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And so I would say I'm a well-rounded healthcare leader with a particular depth of expertise in health systems.
When you ended up at UConn Health the very first time and became the president there, with all of your experience and insight from not just in this region, but like you said, out in California, across the country, really, what were some of the goals that you set in place when you first started as president at UConn Health?
Yeah, so as so in UConn Health, the first priority, so my first time around, and by the way, UConn Health has gone through an amazing transformation. And I have to pause here and say, it's not one person. If you know health systems, they're extremely complex. So you have to have a very strong leadership team. And particularly in an academic health system, academic medical center, where you have schools of medicine, schools of dental medicine, you really have to have strong deans, you have to have strong faculty chairs, department heads, chiefs of service, and of course my sort of administrative senior executive team. So I didn't do this all on my own. But between sort of 2014 when I started at UConn Health and 2022 when I left, you know, we had a, basically our vision was to renew UConn Health's sort of state-of-the-art status and achieve financial stability. And we did that through growth and excellence of the academic enterprise. So we grew the School of Dental Medicine to its maximum class size at this point, to a record class size, should I say. And we grew the School of Medicine, same thing, to a record class size. We expanded the residency programs. We exceeded, our targets for research growth. And then on the clinical services, we grew extensively. So the net patient service revenue, I think it was just about $370 million when I started. And when I left, it had more than doubled to like $700 million. And now it's actually tripled. So we're at about $1 billion in net patient service revenue. And our occupancy in the hospital, our hospital is full, so as you might have heard, we're actually applying for 23 more beds under the Certificate of Need application. We implemented infrastructure, $800 million worth of infrastructure, a new outpatient pavilion, built a new hospital, research buildings, and so on and so forth. So if you come to the campus for UConn Health, it's an absolutely amazing state-of-the-art campus, both in terms of buildings and in terms of equipment. And we even implemented an electronic medical record. When I first arrived, a lot of our clinics were on paper, and so now we have a fully integrated electronic medical record, which really serves our patients and our providers well. And so a lot to be proud of, the whole team, everyone at UConn Health. And so that was our first transformation. Now, of course, we're moving to the second phase of that, which is really about growth, financial, continued long-term financial sustainability, and innovation.
Dr. Andrew Agonobi is my guest this morning on Face Connecticut. He's the president of UConn Health. We also refer to him, simply put, as Andy or Dr. Andy. So, Dr. Andy, when I hear things about this growth that you guys have been going through, you're looking to add more beds through the Certificate of Need process, you're expanding research space and abilities and so on and so forth. How are you guys able to manage all of that space, all of that growth that seems to have been happening rather quickly?
Yes. One thing that we always remember is that we're here for the people of Connecticut. And that's why we train doctors, 50% 50% of the dentists in Connecticut are trained at UConn Health. And a large percentage of the doctors that we train also stay. So I think more than 30% of the doctors that we train also stay in Connecticut. And so both in terms of the workforce, but also in terms of patient care, we're here for all the people in Connecticut. So we're really responding to the need. I mean, the reason we have grown is because of not just the fact that we provide medical care. There are other health systems around that provide medical care. But we provide the academic medical center level of care. So innovation around things like, I was just talking to a doctor yesterday who was saying that, we have a doctor in our ranks, in our neurosurgery department, Dr. Christopher Connor, who is doing deep brain stimulation, and that's a revolutionary treatment for movement disorders like Parkinson's disease and tremors and dystonia. And it involves placing wires and a battery in the body to stimulate the brain. So these types of, cutting-edge treatments are what you...
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You expect to find in an academic medical center like, UConn Health or Yale or other academic, centers. And so we're really just responding to a need, and that's why we've grown so quickly. And we feel it's our responsibility to continue to grow, to serve the people in Connecticut. And so, but one thing we want to do now is we want to go beyond just our region, because, we're very concentrated in Farmington Valley and around us. And we'd like to go further. And to do that, we're going to have to partner. So we're looking at growth. When we talk about financial sustainability for the long term, that involves growing so that you're available so we can bring these great services to many more people. But to grow, we have to partner because obviously we want to grow efficiently. So I think that there is a very exciting new next chapter for UConn Health, and I think the best is yet to come.
You've talked a lot about tech, and that's something that I was looking forward to bringing up, Dr. Andy, because it seems like every single day, and I work in news, it seems like every day I go look at the news and there's new information about technology or how to apply it or new ways to use it, or people are trying to find out how to better use technology to solve our problems of today and problems that have been a long time coming, like you mentioned, Parkinson's research, and also the updating of medical records, something that is very common at doctor's offices now, is you're handed a tablet instead of a booklet of paper. And so when we talk about medical and we talk about tech, how are you guys staying on top of all of these changes seemingly every single day?
Yeah. Well, when you train, the great thing about training doctors and doctors of dental medicine is that you have to stay on top of it, because it's important for our new generation of practitioners that they understand, the new reality of medical care, which is aided by artificial intelligence, telemedicine, but also by other sort of non-technological sort of factors such as social determinants of health and health equity. But, you know, in terms of AI and technology, AI is, or artificial intelligence is playing an increasingly significant role in healthcare. You know, for example, automating tasks which improve the efficiency of our staff. If you look at things like medical imaging and diagnostics, so you can use artificial intelligence algorithms to analyze X-rays, MRIs, CT scans, and we're doing that in our radiology department. It helps with, it assists radiologists in prioritizing what they're reading. You know, for example, you know, it can tell you if you have 100 scans to read, you should read number 96 and number 98 first because they look, there's something on them that looks dangerous, right? And so they can help you prioritize, they can help you with accuracy, and we've already started sort of implementing that. And then there's clinical decision support systems. You know, it can, you know, you can look at your electronic medical record and make evidence-based recommendations to support clinical decision-making. And not as glamorous, but, you know, we're also a business, too. We have, you know, billing departments, we have coding, we have patient records, and artificial intelligence can automate those tasks. And in fact, one of the things we want to do as we go forward, as we look at how do we become more financially sustainable over the long term, in addition to growth, so that scale and partnerships, et cetera, we also want to look at how we innovate using technology to become as efficient as possible. And then there are things, so you know, AI can automate tasks, as I said, like billing and managing patient records. And then there's something called natural language processing, which can streamline your documentation and your coding, saving time for practitioners. I'll just end on this note about technology of saying that, you know, one of the biggest complaints of healthcare workers, whether they're physicians or nurses or other clinicians, is the burden, the administrative burden posed by electronic medical records and documentation and charting and all the rest of it. And I think this is where AI is really going to make a huge impact on employee morale, reducing turnover, and improving efficiency.
Dr. Andy, as wonderful as AI sounds, and I agree that there are many positives with AI in our society today and going forward, there are also a lot of people who are concerned about it too. Do you have any concerns at this point in time, anything that makes you say, well, maybe we should just be cautious about this aspect of AI as far as medical is concerned?
Yeah, I do. I do think we have to be cautious, just as we would be cautious with any new technology. You know, I'm dating myself, but I was around when the internet, you know, became a big thing, and you know, we know now that there are downsides to the internet, right? And so, same thing with AI. With any powerful sort of new transformative technology, there are going to be people that can misuse it. There are going to be mistakes that occur, and we have to be careful. We don't rely on it fully, that we're always checking. And so I think a lot of companies that are using AI are starting off from a very cautious approach of learning how to use it, knowing when it is best used versus not used, checking it, you know, auditing and checking and monitoring and making sure that it's giving the right answers. I mean, I remember I was telling my wife that, you know, I was using ChatGPT on the internet, and I asked a question around something to do with aircraft or something. I was just, you know, interested in an answer. And it came back with a really funny answer about a type of helicopter that I'd never heard of before. And I checked some of the sources, the footnotes in the reference citations in the ChatGPT, and it had taken that answer from a video game. You know, as opposed to from, so just to say that we have to be careful, particularly in healthcare. But I do want to say this. I believe that we can't even imagine right now the power that artificial intelligence will bring not just to healthcare but to all of us. I think it's, I remember in the early days of the internet, we couldn't have imagined what the internet does for us now today, what is done on the internet today. We couldn't have imagined it. And I believe the same with artificial intelligence. We can't yet imagine the positivity that it can bring in the future.
As far as the need for people goes, there's definitely a need for more doctors, more nurses, more people in general to go work in medical. We heard about those significant shortages in this post-COVID world that we've been living in. How does UConn Health, Dr. Andy, look to grow that area of adding more doctors to the medical field, adding more nurses, et cetera?
Well, we do it in two ways. One, we do it through our education. Obviously, we're in the business of training doctors and training more doctors and trying to understand what does it take to get people to go into primary care, for example, and what does it take to keep people in the state once they graduate. So this is something that we always do and we do constantly. But the other thing that is important, I think, for all health systems is to really focus on the well-being of medical staff. And you know, this is a very tough business, and, you know, it takes everything you have. And so being focused, and this is one of the things I really want to emphasize now that I'm back at UConn Health. I've always been employee-oriented, but, you know, when I was out there and I watched out in the industry, when I was kind of managing a national company and watching out in the industry where a lot of sort of private equity has entered into healthcare, which is fine, but you know, there's a lot of competition for medical staff. You know, managed care plans are hiring physicians and hiring nurses, and so are private equity-owned companies. And I realized that for anyone to really keep their staff, they have to focus on them. They have to focus on their well-being. They have to focus on their satisfaction. They have to support them and help them to be fulfilled. They have to be inclusive so that, you know, diverse workforce wants to stay with you. And really important is we always have to support our patients, because one thing we forget, and I'm a physician, so I don't forget it, and that is that part of your fulfillment as a physician or a nurse is being able to take care of your patient and see your patient's outcomes improve. And so the system is also responsible for that. And I've always said, the nurses and the physicians and the clinicians who work for us, they are us, but they are also our customers. And as customers, they're partnered with the patients. So it's just a little bit of a complex approach, but it's important. It's simple in many other ways.
Dr. Andrew Aguinobi, he is the president of UConn Health. And Dr. Andy, I really appreciated your time this morning on Face Connecticut, although we are just about out of time. As you begin your second go-round as president of UConn Health, Dr. Andy, is there anything that you missed, or is there anything that you really want the public to know about you, about your role at UConn Health, anything at all?
I'd just like to say that UConn Health is, and this is not marketing, this is real, UConn Health is an amazing organization. I use it for my care, and most of our doctors here use it for their care. But it's not widely known across the state that it's available to the people of Connecticut, and that it's sort of academic level care. So I would just say to people, if you need care and you're shopping around, just think about UConn Health, because we have phenomenal care here.
Dr. Andy, I really appreciate your time this morning on Face Connecticut, and I hope to talk with you again, okay?
Same here. Thank you so much.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.